Welcome to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends prepare for the Korean invasion. As always, I am your captain that has the copyrighted name and then had to fight a lawsuit against DC for a trademark, Zach.
Shazam.
Good lord. I'm the character that people forgot about for a while and then brought back as a new hero, Zach.
You got that. You took that. I'm the Kree space alien who passes on his power, Steven.
That's also what I was.
Captain Marvel. We were all Captain Marvel.
Were we?
Yes, because I was the character that everybody forgot about for a while.
I thought you were Carol.
Yeah, I thought you were Carol, too.
No, well, I guess that's true. She did just disappear.
Carol kind of disappeared after Conway's run. That's true. And then Bendis brought her back in, like, Secret
Avengers.
I thought
you were going for Shazam.
You're not wrong.
Well, no, Captain Marvel. Marvel.
I just thought people forgot about Marvel
Shazam
for a while.
Shazam was also
too.
Captain Marvel, but then due to the copyrights of Marvel owning the term Marvel, he had become Shazam, so I thought you were Shazam.
Actually, I think it makes better sense that I'm the DC character that just, like, is just
that,
there.
That is very true.
Because Shazam started filming today.
Oh, neat.
Yeah,
that's convenient.
So it's officially in production, and Shazam!
Shazam!
I'm really excited to see, like, especially how they changed, Savannah. Savannah's no longer like a mad scientist. He's actually like also an evil wizard.
Huh.
That shoots lightning out of his hands.
They're just going full magic now.
Yeah.
Is he like a space wizard?
I hope so.
Space wizard.
Nothing
in
like the Mandarin.
Space.
He's supposed to be a space wizard with his
little
10 rings.
All rings.
So we actually got our first look at Brie Larson, Captain Marvel gear.
Why is she teal? That's my first and only question.
Because it makes sense.
I forgot that
if you look at
place in the 90s.
If you look at the images of what the Kree warriors wear into battle, they wear teal suits. So it makes sense that this is just a suit transferred to her from Mar-Vale.
I'm really upset that they're not going with like the obnoxiously long scarf swimsuit outfit.
That's Miss Marvel.
I know.
Well, yeah, but starts
off
with
the obnoxiously long scarf, like. It's like the Daredevil approach where he just wears a rag over the top of his head for like the first half of the movie and then he gets the armor plates in the second half of the Netflix show.
True. I mean, I forget that it's technically her origin movie set in the 90s and then they'll probably at the end they'll show off the new suit.
Yeah, and they're shooting in Atlanta right now, which is conveniently where all the Avenger films are shot, so people are kind of speculating whether or not she's doing, like, a cameo piece for Avengers or not.
I think they confirmed that already.
Yeah, I think they said Infinity War was going to be her first appearance.
No.
Which, thank fucking Christ, she finally appears.
Just the last line of the movie is her flying in. Thanos, you're under arrest.
I would straight up
like,
walk out. I would
no.
leave. I would leave.
Well, that's the end of the movie, Zach. You would miss all the mid-credit rolls. Just saying.
Or someone calls her out on her bullshit. Like, I'm sorry. Did you just tell...
just died!
The intergalactic being of ultimate death and destruction...
Hold the phone.
...that he's under arrest?
I think he should be a little more than under arrest here, don't you think?
And then the second end credit scene is going to be Rhodey flying by and then just decked by Thanos.
Oh god, not again!
She-Hulk's going to appear out of nowhere, missile right to her. Be like, what the fuck is happening?
Coincidentally, Civil War II. She's the only character that's still owned by Universal. That's not shared
She-Hulk?
With the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Huh.
Holding on to that property for one day.
Wait, what does Universal own? I guess they did
own the Hulk franchise.
I guess that's true.
Also, did you guys see that Valiant just got bought by DMC Entertainment, the same guys who made Twilight and some other bullshit? Twilight was the first thing that caught my eye. Iron Man 3.
They have just such a great track record.
Well, it's like...
Okay, Iron Man 3
commercially
was not
success.
Terrible.
Not great.
It was not terrible until the Mandarin part. I liked the Mandarin character.
It had a moment.
Up until Ben Kingsley, it was just like, I'm Ben Kingsley. Like, fuck off.
You had a chance.
See, my problem was the Extremis when everyone started breathing fire instead of, like, you know, the armor growing out of Tony's skin.
Well, that was because Tony got the Extremis later and modified it to work with his armor. That wasn't the original Extremis.
But why was everyone breathing fire?
Not everyone. Only the advanced Extremis
Pepper,
people.
The real Mandarin.
Right,
everyone who exploded.
Also a cop.
And then
out.
The fucking kid. God damn it, I hate that child. I don't know why. It's like an irrational
and
hate.
Then he showed up in Jurassic World.
Now watch, he's going to become Iron Lad.
Oh, no.
So a lot of people are like, we figured out how to fix the MCU after Phase 4 when everyone's contracts run out. Because I think I was listening to one of my coworkers, and they're like, yeah, I wonder who's going to die. I'm like, well, look who still has a contract after this movie. Like, Sebastian Stan has like a 6-movie contract. Everyone's contract literally runs out at this movie. Oh, hey, there's going to be a Black Widow
movie.
Do
we finally get Scarlett Johansson's probably going to... Do we get a Bucky and Natasha movie?
Dude, I'm just...
I'm teasing myself with that one.
I know. You're, like, torturing yourself. It's not going to happen.
No, but I can dream.
No, because it just ready, watch. Another end credit scene of Infinity War is going to be Black Widow breaking up with Bruce Banner. And I'm looking over like, sup, Bucky?
She hops on Bucky's motorcycle and rides away.
Later, nerds!
Have you guys looked at any of the Infinity War comic tie-in?
No.
There's a tie-in?
Or it's either that or Black Panther tie-in. Or Civil War. But,
Oh, yeah, it's the Black Panther one where it explains, like, why Bucky is...
on ice.
Or yeah, out of ice.
Out of ice, because they show it's, like, T'Challa's sister Shuri, I think her name is, managed to deprogram him.
Huh.
And good what's really her. Awesome is that the advertisement for the Black Panther movie, they're referring to Shuri as the smartest person on the planet. And I'm like, fuck you, Tony Stark. Wakanda, bitch.
It's just because they haven't used Moon Girl yet.
No, she's the 4th smartest person in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, and they don't have Reed Richards, so...
Or Doom.
Doom!
Thank God. Oh, running
off in the distance, Ant-Man, Tim, by the way. Tim just, like, shuddered a little bit. Not sure if it's his flu or...
No.
It was the Doom.
It wasn't Tim Husky shuddered. It's Tim Husky thought, how can I curse Kingdom Hearts 3 to fuck with Steven? But joke's on you, I'm already past that motherfucker. We have a release year.
Year.
He
fuck you, it's more
fate.
Than I've had for 14 years. I've done my time.
Okay. So yeah, MCU's happening still.
It's, yeah, still a thing.
Although I did see...
Didn't go anywhere.
Chris Hemsworth is not happy that his contract is going to be up.
Yeah.
So he might re-up on his.
I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr. He's like... I still feel like he's contractually obligated to show up in everyone's movie at this point.
Well, he's the whole reason that 3/4 of the MCU still have contracts.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm not going to do Iron Man 3 unless you re-sign everybody. Fuck you.
Even the Chris Hemsworth is like, yeah, my contract runs up, but I really want to do Ragnarok 2 with Taika Waititi. And I'm like, please.
How do you do Ragnarok 2?
The Earth blows up.
Asgard comes back, blow it up again.
Well, I mean, it's kind of cool to see, like, the commercial success of Ragnarok brought, like, that incarnation of Valkyrie over into the comic books. Because remember, Marvel Synergy.
Thank God we don't have DC Synergy right now, to be quite honest.
I mean, it happens. Jim Gordon was Batman for a while, and it's like, yep, Batman vs. Superman's coming out, and Bruce is back. I'm still waiting. Like, I guess this is a great time to move on to skip around to a topic, but Justice League No More got announced by IGN this weekend, and I freaked out while I was at Panda Express.
Yes, you freaked out a little bit too much.
I'm like, guys, the dream.
Well, because we finally know what Scott Snyder's working on next.
Like Scott Snyder on Justice League. Article. I can't wait. Article.
It was one article and like 5 pictures. Because Martian Manhunter's back, and he's actually going to be in Metal Issue 5 this week, according to the preview images.
Ooh. Woo!
Damian Wayne's going to be on the Justice League for some god unknown reason. And it's Scott Snyder's C2E2 speech where he's talking about, yeah, the way I envision it, the Trinity represents the 3 different realms of existence. Superman deals with all the cosmic stuff, Wonder Woman deals with all the magic, and Batman deals with all of the Earth. And guess what? Conveniently, yeah. We have Team Wonder, Team Space Thing, and Batman and his crew.
I thought there were 4
teams,
though.
Yeah.
Who's the 4th?
And it's curious. So... Justice League No Justice is going to be a crossover series between Justice League, Justice League of America, Teen Titans, and Titans, and officially ending all of those titles. And out of that spins out Scott Snyder's Justice League title with Francis Manapal doing art, and I'm like,
this is like, I know, it's like, this is the only other thing I'd be okay with if it's not Capullo, Sean Gordon Murphy.
I'm just excited that he's, I mean, we've seen him write other characters. Like, we've seen him do Superman before. We've seen him toy with some characters before, like in his crossover events. But it, this is the first book that's not a pure Batman book.
Yeah, so...
aside from Superman, of course.
The plot of No Justice, he's Brainiac. And the cool, the stupid thing, Batman Lost, issue number one, when they're in the nightmare sequence and he's at his bookshelf looking at all the books and they're all named after famous, like, precursor titles. Like, there's a Killing Joke book, there's the Chemical Mystery book, and so on. Like, there's the Long Halloween.
Are you talking about the dream sequence?
In Batman Lost, when he's talking to his quote-unquote granddaughter.
Yeah.
And there's a book titled No Justice. And he's like, no, it's not the time to tell this story. And I'm like, what does that mean, Snyder? Are you coming back to Batman? So the plot of No Justice, he's Brainiac warned the Justice League about a cosmic-level threat on the way to destroy Earth. When the heroes find out, even the combined might of the Justice League, including some unlikely new recruits, isn't enough to stop it. Brainiac advises them with a plan. His strategy involves the heroes allying with villains and splitting up into four specialized teams. The fate of a different alien world depends on the success of each team, but if they fail, it's game over for not just Earth, but the entire DC universe. And then Manipal goes in to say, I'm about to lay out the biggest action of my life, and how No Justice includes a lot of characters that haven't been seen for a while. So Christopher Priest and Pete Woods are going to be ending their Justice League at issue 43. Steve Orlando is going to be ending his Justice League of America at issue 29. We're not sure what Titans and Teen Titans are doing, but all those titles are officially ending in order for these teams to basically kick off. And it's a crossover series with James Tynan, Joshua Williamson, Francis Manipal, and Scott Snyder. And I'm like, all those dudes are like beastly writers, and Manipal is a beastly writer and artist. Like, this cannot, like, I cannot stress how
this
excited
will quell the fact that Doomsday Clock is bi-monthly now.
So when is this event starting?
It starts
because Metal only has one more issue.
Yeah, May 9th is when Justice League No Justice starts.
So right before DCC.
Exactly.
Yep. Got some questions for you, Snyder and Tynan.
Hey, Martian Manhunter, am I right?
And fucking Zatanna. She's back.
Yeah, I'm about to look up the teams here in a second. And it's such a bizarre thing because, again, you have Justice League members mixed in with Teen Titans, mixed in with the villains that we get to see them teaming up with. I can't find the article that has all their names, but the first team is Starro, Starfire, Superman, Martian Manhunter, and Sinestro.
Wait, Starro?
Starro's part of a team.
Fucking Starro.
Then you got Cyborg, Robin, Flash, Harley Quinn, and I think Adam Strange. I'm not sure who that other guy is. Team Wonder is Etrigan, Zatanna, Wonder Woman, Dr. Fate, and Raven.
Shout out to Etrigan.
And then Deathstroke, Lex Luthor, Batman, Lobo, and Beast Boy. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be the most off-the-wall Metal thing ever. Like, we've ascended even from metal to, like, gents.
Isn't Wild Hunt supposed to come out this month, too?
February.
Okay. So let's go Wild Hunt and then the last issue.
Yep. Last issue supposed to be solicited March 14th, I believe. Why do I know that?
Because solicits came out, like, a
2 months
ago.
Because you're
solicits show the next 2 months
nerd.
From now. And they have color-coordinated costumes. Hooray.
I don't like Starro's look. It's unsettling.
Just the giant monster thing.
Actually, it reminds me of Shuma Garath from Marvel vs. Capcom, which is just an eyeball with tentacles.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited. I'm like, Damian Wayne's on a team and everything else. Like, DC really knows how to, like, hey, fans, I heard this is what you want. Here you go. Yeah. It's like everyone at this point, too, is waiting for Jason Aaron to take over Avengers at this point so he can tell his grand story. It's kind of like when we saw Hickman, who's like, wow, Hickman's doing all this really cool stuff in Fantastic Four. Here's Avengers. What do you got? Secret Wars. And again, I feel Secret Wars reads amazingly in a single sitting.
I feel his Avengers would be the same way. Like, if I had read that issue to issue instead of, you know, having six fucking volumes to read straight, it probably would have been like, eh, it's kind of lackluster. Like, I kind of want to go back and read Black Monday Murders from start to finish once that, like, ends. Because I bet that's, like, a crazy wild ride that...
There's, like, a hint in issue one. It's like,
Oh my god!
All right, so, the Superman team is Team Mystery.
Yep.
Batman's team is Team Entropy. Wonder Woman's team is Team Wonder. Shocking. And then the last team is Team Wisdom.
And also, it's going to be really interesting to see. So this is a four-issue mini leading up to Snyder's Justice League. This is going to be the first Justice League in a while without an Aquaman. Granted, Landis is going through some serious shit right now.
Yeah, they got things happening.
No lanterns.
And no lanterns. I mean, there's only seven Earth lanterns, including Carol Ferris, I would say.
Well, I mean, Hal, Kyle...
John,
Guy. And Guy are all kind of dealing with some shit out in the middle of space.
Then Jessica, Simon have their own shit they deal with.
They're touring space also. There's no lanterns on Earth.
Carol.
Do you think we're going to see, like more and more, Rebirth is giving fans what they want, but I want to see them, like, hey, there's this, like, Green Lantern, the animated series, and there's this character named Razor everyone obsesses about. Should we bring him in?
Oh, please. Do it now. Didn't even think about that. If they're combining the Justice League books, that means Canary, the Ray, Frost, and Vixen didn't make the cut.
No.
Oh.
So it's interesting to see where they're gonna go, where any of these teams are gonna go. Did they say who the one dude is?
What one dude?
There's a person who? I think on Team Wonder.
Raven, Dr. Fate, Zatanna, and Etrigan.
Right. Oh, the Atom. So the Atom survived.
Atom is part of Team Wisdom.
Yeah, and we know that one's Ryan Choi specifically because he's wearing glasses. Nerd.
I am curious, though, on how Harley Quinn fits into Team Wisdom.
Sales.
It's like, I know she was a therapist, but how Team Wisdom when you have the Flash, Cyborg, Robin, and the Atom? You know, some of the smartest people in the world. And Damien.
We'll find out. There probably will be a reason.
For him not to be on Team Entropy and then like, no. Team Wisdom.
And
where's Team Valor, though?
I wonder. God damn it. I wonder how this is going to spin out, too, because if Teen Titans effectively ends, because these guys might be like Justice League members, are they going to bring back Tim's era? Because with all the stuff Tomasi has been doing with Super Sons of Tomorrow, it's kind of been like, they exist, here they are. And then like Connor and Superman shake hands, and it's like, pleasure serving with you, Superman. It's like, you too, Superman. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Stop, the erection can only get so hard.
Look, Connor's been missing since Convergence. And his New 52 series wasn't that great. That wasn't really Connor either. But... he's going to appear one day. Just you wait and see.
Just wait. It'll happen.
Just like Cassie being in Limbo. Or
yeah. Even Bart. Though it's like, here's Cassie too. And she exists as well.
And I feel like since Williamson's on this team, like Flash War has been hinting more and more. It's like, yeah, look, it's Bart Allen's costume as Impulse. But what does that mean? Tell me, Williamson.
It's Bart Allen's costume. Look at it.
I feel like this is going to be a series where I'm going to be like, shit, I'm going to buy like every variant as soon as this comes out.
For four issues.
Especially if like not Tomasi's, Manipal's art mock-ups, this black and white one with the crazy space in the background is the cover for most of those variants. I'm going to be like, yep, I'm buying this.
Okay, yes, please.
Here's my money. Nightwing New Order ended. So that's one series. Ragman ends in two issues. I'm good. Justice League. Good.
Say, I'm at the point now where I don't think any of my series are ending, and I have to pick up one more for a few weeks. Damn you, Power Rangers.
Crossovers!
Have to pick up Go-Go as well.
So to jump back to one of the original points, because we were talking about movies, but that seemed like a really natural transition. I Kill Giants, the trailer came out, and I'm so excited.
It looks intense.
So, do you know anything about it?
No.
So the original comic is written by, hang on, I need to pull up the page again. I have the comic upstairs, like the trade. Joe Kelly, who worked both extensively with DC and Marvel at certain points. He wrote Superman for a while. He's writing the current Deadpool Spider-Man book. So, it was an Image series back in 2008. And the basic synopsis is, it's the story about a girl who's a bit of an outsider. She's funny, but totally in our geek land. She's obsessed with D&D. She doesn't have a lot of friends, and she's a bit of a social misfit. She's taken her fantasy a little far and really only talks about giants to people. She's convinced that giants are real and giants are coming, and it's her responsibility to stop them when they show up. This weird little fantasy life that she's started seeping into her life, and as we see things from her point of view, we see that she sees pixies and sees signs in the clouds and other things that might be telling her that the bad things might be coming. So it's like fantasy seeping into our reality, and she's the only one that knows. And because she's a child who wears bunny ears constantly, no one believes her.
Story twist, mom puts acid in her pancakes every morning. Just a little bit.
What's really cool, too, is that the actual screenplay is written by Joe Kelly, too. So he's had almost full creator control over this movie. And it's going to be starring Madison Wolf, Zoe Saldana, and Imogen Poots.
Poots.
Imogen.
But the trailer looks really cool in the CG on the giants. Like, they do the Jaws thing where it's like, giants are real and they're coming and I have to fight them. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Sure they are.
Clever little girl. And then
how old is the girl supposed to be?
She's supposed to be like 12.
Okay.
And then you see one of the giants in the trees and it's like, oh shit. So I'm really excited for this. I'm a sucker for anything where fantasy starts seeping into real life other than Bright. The more I think about Bright, the more it's like, okay, let me tell you my favorite sequence in Bright. Daddy, I don't want you to get shot again. I'm not going to get shot. Don't worry. I got shot. Nothing else happens. Oh. Nothing else happens in that movie. And he gets shot and then walks it off.
Fuck you mean nothing else happens in that movie?
No, I mean in terms of the I got shot moments.
Okay. Okay, I was going to say, what do you mean nothing else happens? So much shit happens in that movie.
Yeah, we were watching and I was like, is the movie still going? I think I stopped paying attention somewhere in the middle. Grand Theft Tolkien for life.
Well, it's kind of like when you're watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Or it's like, wow, movie has to be almost over, right? Oh, we still got an hour to go.
Oh, my God. Huh.
This was for Steve's birthday, too. We were like, you should get ready for your party.
Yeah. That was Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, we got to go soon. How much longer we got in the movie? Oh, an hour?
Let's go shower.
I'm going to go take a shower and then get dressed and maybe we'll watch more.
So I'm really excited for the trailer and I'm excited for the movie just because
I'm always down for
new. There's a lot of adaptations I feel like are growing stale. Like some of the Marvel stuff grew a little stale for me, other than like, you know, seeing Spider-Man in real life again, Taika Waititi coming in.
I really hope Black Panther is something we haven't seen. Like, I hope that they've just shown like the parts of like, yeah, here's all the bits, you know, but now here's all the cool new stuff we've been saving.
And I've only ever seen that first trailer. I haven't seen any other TV spots because I don't want to ruin this movie.
Same.
The only ones I've seen are just him flipping around and doing
cool
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Acrobats.
Acrobatics.
Acrobatics.
I would agree. I'm always down for some cool adaptations, even though I wish we got more original stuff. Like, was Shape of Water technically an original?
Yes.
Or was it okay. Yes, give us more Shape of Water.
Again, it was Guillermo del Toro watching
The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Like, I'm going to make a fuck.
Someone's going to fuck that.
And someone posted a comic. It's like, Alan Moore did it first. And it's the creature from the Black Lagoon who, really unfortunately, the girl character gets abducted by a cult and then is forced to breed with the creature, and yeah, it's not great. It's very Alan Moore, and you're like, okay.
Oh no.
Please don't. But yeah, Shape of Water is fucking beautiful. I'm so happy it won awards. It deserves all of them.
Yes.
And for all the people that said it was just okay, you're okay too.
You can have opinions.
Yeah. And it's like, some people are like, yeah, you know what? Greatest Showman? Soundtrack a lot better than the movie itself. I'm like, ooh. I really like the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's good. I just don't like the romanticizing of certain people and the bastardization of other people. P.T. Barnum was a fucking douche in real life. His mistress in the movie was a fucking saint. And they flipped the roles. Like, the person who's supposed to be the, I'm going to seduce P.T. Barnum and get away from his wife. He made advances on her in real life. She said no, donated every last penny she made in the circus to charity.
Oh.
Again, in the movie, I'm going to steal P.T. Barnum from his wife. No.
But how can you make Hugh Jackman a bad guy?
They're trying to glorify the circus because it was closing down this last year. It's
also,
like, you know.
P.T. Barnum is not the down-and-out underdog who lost his business and decided, I'm going to make a circus now. He was just like, I'm going to make a circus.
The songs are great.
The songs are great. Characters,
It's part of my cardio workout. Like, the first song that's used in the trailer constantly.
Like, I'll watch it when it comes out on DVD, but I can't bring myself to see it in the theater.
Fair game.
Standards.
All right. So, another big thing that happened in terms of movies this week... Hans Zimmer officially comes out of superhero retirement to score
that did not last
X-Men
long.
Dark Phoenix.
I'm retiring. Okay, no, I'm not.
Okay, fine.
Miyazaki, what? Wait, how much money are they going to give me for this X-Men movie?
All right, fine.
Do you hear that in the distance? It's the call of Brett Favre. I'm going to retire. How much money you want to give me? Never mind.
I'm going to go to the team that you fucking hate.
It seems interesting, too, just to see, like, this is going to be, I think, one of the only Marvel films he's going to score ever.
Yes?
Because normally he just hangs out with Nolan.
Let's find out.
And it seems like Fox is really going the long yard here to just try and make this movie worthwhile. And I wonder if it's because, like, if this movie does well, they can do their own universe, and then Marvel could do their own, and they could be like, hey, multiverse. Because, again, when... I hate that I know this much about Ant-Man, the movie, but, like, when Scott shrank down and went into, like, the quantum reality, he saw other things that weren't necessarily his universe. So why not... What's there to say that, you know, the Fox universe can be its own universe, and the MCU could be its own universe, and then we get Secret Wars. We can have four Wolverines running around just like they do in the current comics.
Please, no.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any Marvel titles.
Yep.
Although I forgot that he did some of the score for Lion King and The Rock. Yep. Not Dwayne The Rock Johnson with The
Rock
starring.
Looks like Batman Begins was his first superhero.
Yeah, he just, like I said, he hangs out with Nolan and...
Pirates of the Caribbean. Also Shark Tale.
Oh, no. He did Amazing Spider-Man 2 alongside... Yeah.
Junkie XL.
Yeah.
Also did The Simpsons movie and Kung Fu Panda.
Pharrell Williams, Johnny Marr, Michael Einziger, Junkie XL, and Andrew Kowinski.
Okay.
Kwasinski, I think that's how you say that. And Steve Marazzo. So yes, he has done a Marvel movie.
Okay. So I'm excited. Like, Hans Zimmer doesn't make bad music. I would actually honestly love to see a Star Wars film scored by Zimmer.
Oh, man. It'd be cool.
Like, either him or Junkie XL, which essentially Junkie's like his disciple and student.
Except more wub-wub.
Yeah. Dude, freaking Mad Max. That soundtrack is beautiful. It's also on my cardio playlist.
Oh, fuck yeah. Hans Zimmer's also going to be doing the live-action Lion King score.
Fucking nice.
Nice.
Looking at Hans Zimmer's recent scores, let's see, two of the movies he did last year are up for Best Picture.
Blade Runner and
Dunkirk.
Nolan and...
Probably not going to win.
Probably not.
He might get Dunkirk for sound design.
But for real, though...
Yeah. possible.
Can we talk about how Boss Baby is up for best animated feature?
That's fucking horseshit.
Over it's against a your silent name, right? voice. No.
Isn't your name up for?
No.
Your name gets nothing.
Your name and a silent voice got submitted, but did not get put on best animated feature.
Granted, Your Name technically came out in 2016 in Japan, but the American release.
And we're talking American films. Either that or because it wasn't under best foreign film last year.
It's true. The first search result is an Oscar snub.
Yeah. Fucking Boss Baby.
Well, I mean, that's the inherent problem with the Oscars is they don't give a shit about animation. Like, they either give it to Studio Ghibli or Pixar every time.
Yeah, Coco, yeah, so Coco's up for one.
Yeah,
Coco's
so obviously Coco will win that.
Because Zootopia won last year.
Yeah, it's every single Pixar movie in the last decade has won, I'm pretty sure.
Also, Ferdinand came out? I don't even know. Is that the one by
that's the one. John Cena
yeah,
one?
Yeah, the bull voiced by John Cena.
Okay. Yeah. Alec Baldwin's in that one.
No.
No, that's Boss Baby.
Oh, fuck me.
I hate that we know this, but it's important semantics.
You don't realize that there is a portion of my brain that is just dedicated to stupid Hollywood trivia. Who's in that movie? Oh, it's this person. Fuck.
Or all the voice actors.
Yeah. Like
fuck, it's
this
person.
For real, we're watching Cardcaptor, and I'm like, oh, it's neat. That's Bakugo's voice. Oh, neat. That's Deku's voice.
They're the gays.
They're the gays. Or we were watching
Citrus,
and I was like, oh, that's this person.
Did I ever have a dub for that?
Yeah, the episode we watched one last. Is out.
It was a thing.
Hella gay.
Oh my god, it is so gay.
Like, no.
The opening is so gay.
Like, they're half naked in the opening at one point.
They're half naked.
Still fully clothed, but like, full shoulder, everything's unbuttoned.
Yeah, like things are like draping off. And let's see, they show them kissing, and then like they do the whole pull away, and their tongues are out. They're like, oh, they were just going full French.
Yeah,
and
there's saliva coming.
The ending,
oh god,
the ending of the opening is them holding hands, and they lean in and kiss each other. I'm like, wow,
that is not what
this
I expected
opening
from
is
that.
So gay.
I knew it was like a romance.
No, it's a gay lesbian anime.
I knew that. I didn't know they were gonna go that full on with it though.
Well, it's like, so they're stepsisters, and the emo stepsister is engaged to a teacher at the school.
Because her grandpa is the head chairman of the school, so he's trying to keep like a proud lineage. He's like, you're going to be engaged to the best teacher. And then they're
weirded out now.
And then they're macking on the side of the school.
But
like,
she was forced to do it. If you look at
she was like holding her mouth open and kissing, like, ugh.
And then the other person, voiced by Alba.
Oh god, Alba.
Is like it was like, oh my god, dear sweet Alba, please no. Oh. But she's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. She's like, you want to know how it feels? And then forces her to make out. And it's like a solid minute.
Yeah,
and I'm
and
like,
it, and it's like, what? Her like pinning
fuck?
Her to the ground. It's like, whoa. Also, the Alba's mom is Mori Mori.
Oh my god.
That's the other voice I recognize. Like, oh, fuck yeah.
It was a thing.
Yeah. Wow. It was.
You should join us for episode 2.
It was so gay, but so amazing.
Because you're like, yeah, let me know if it's good. I'm like, it's worth watching.
The animation is beautiful.
Damn it, I've gone so long without punching the mic.
They get into the detail of that lesbian kiss.
Like, Anonymous Noise is probably like a 1 in terms of trashy romance that Steve and I watch. Citrus is probably like a 9 or a 10 right now based on one episode.
Based on one episode, I put that at like a 15. It is trashy. But, oh my god. It's so good. It's so trashy. Oh, it's like watching an episode of Jerry Springer. You just can't
you
look
just
away.
You just want to see the beautiful
you're
train
like,
wreck.
These are, this is terrible. This is trash. But it's so beautiful.
Oh, my god.
So, continuing on to our anime discussion. We're halfway through Recreators, officially.
Yep.
And Magical Slayer Mamika had a very, uplifting moment.
We all knew.
And I feel like I understand everyone's problem with this show, that no one has effective communication skills with one another, because she was like, Alice, you're the only thing that matters to me.
Like,
please forgive me. And then she disappears.
She leaves.
And then she's up to Altaria. It's like, I can't go past my character description. So I must defeat you. Or let's be friends and we can stop
it's like,
this.
I cherish both you and Alice. It's like, you guys are my friends. Sword.
Well, no, it's like, you hear it. It's like, you just see her holding out
you
her
know
hand.
It's like, you know it's coming.
And I'm like, oh, God. And then you're... It's like, and I'm like, she's... We
stop! We literally she's screamed. Already dead!
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just going to be one sword, and then it's like, no.
Oh, no.
You know that magic trick where they get in the box and then just, like, sword after sword after sword?
Like now that, do that but to, like, no a 12-year-old girl.
And what... Because I love, like, the coloration. Like, you know, Mamika is all these nice pastel pinks and light colors. And then when she activates her magical love flare splash... Full power.
Magical solar flare.
It's purple. And I'm like, nuke. Oh, it's the loss of innocence for this character.
Fucking English
and
nerd.
Probably the loss of life. And then we see her flying in the air,
fucking
pouring
fall.
Blood onto the streets.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Just let her die, please.
Character eating a corn dog and suddenly blood splatter
on the corn
dog.
And of course
dog.
It was that character eating the corn dog.
And hey, she finished it. Good for her.
Mamako? No.
No.
Magane.
Yeah.
I just want to know, is she a fucking demon? Was she possessed? I just want to know. Or is she just like
no
that?
No spoilers. Don't look ahead. Don't look ahead.
I won't look ahead.
You're looking ahead. You're going to reveal what her true past
Something
is.
Something I do appreciate, it though, is nobody really has plot armor. It's literally like, ironically, it's a show about creations coming into the real world, and they have no plot armor.
And it's
here.
All the protagonists.
Surprise.
Or
most of them are protagonists.
Yeah. As soon as one person is like, oh, she's got plot armor again.
No. Should that, get that plot armor.
Bankai? Oh,
no.
But the power of Twitter. Tweets could have saved her.
The fucking power of Twitter.
Retweet the anime series.
It's...
But let's be real. Alistaria February's
That's
horse.
Oh my God.
Liv Klopp, the magical motorcycle horse.
So
and
amazing.
The reason why we say this is that when it flies, it makes motorcycle noises.
Like, you know it's coming because you hear, oh, hey, there's a horse.
Oh, yeah. I have the video still. Can we put that?
Yes.
The,
yes, we
the
can.
Sound?
I think it'll be fine.
Snapchat.
Looking for a video. Looking
why are
for
you?
A video. That was a horse.
That was the horse.
That was the horse flying away. Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
So bizarre. But now we've almost met all the characters, and it's like Zach's favorite character, Blitz Talker.
He's not my favorite.
Blitz Talker.
He's so cyberpunk, though.
He has a gun.
He has
that
a gravity bullet gun.
I'm just like, you're so
he also
cyberpunk.
Has a watch that when he clicks it, he flies.
Like, yeah, you are definitely the mercenary cyberpunk man.
But it's okay. We're getting close to the dating
She's
sim character.
She's not a demon.
Damon.
Damon.
Not a demon.
But the anime series she comes from is called Record of the Night Widow Demon. But she's not a demon.
Look, she's Orochimaru in a teenage girl's body.
You know, you're not wrong. And it shows.
Not
going to
lie, I don't know. I mean, English voice actors have gotten really good, but I don't know if they would be able to get her mannerisms well.
No, they're going to hire Orochimaru.
Like, she's so...
Steve Blue. Oh,
she's
God.
Like that perfect
Steve Blue doing the voice for that character.
The Japanese has this perfect, like, cute but sinister voice the whole time.
Like, if she wasn't so fucked up, I'd love the character.
It's like, she's so fucked up.
It's like that guilty pleasure character. Like, I love you.
I should not like
but
you.
But dear God.
It's the it's Tumblr fucking... problematic vape. This person killed an entire village, but they're my little cinnamon roll.
Look how cute they are.
But she's adorable.
It's like,
but
it's like the My Hero.
People.
It's like the My Hero obsession with Toga. I'm like, she's probably killed multiple people.
Oh, you don't even know the surface of Toga.
People are obsessed with Toga.
Toga.
But just wait till April. You'll know the darkness that is her.
Do we finally get Deku's new costume in this season? Or is that next? Probably
depends
next
on
after.
How far they go into it.
Okay.
Because I think...
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
See,
it's really not a huge change. He just gets some new armaments.
I'm thinking I know where they're going to end the season, because that would be a really good spot to end the season. So I'm thinking they're going to do two arcs.
Is it when they do the one thing to the one character? that I'm thinking about probably.
Yes.
Okay.
We got hella sidetracked there.
Anyways, Recreators is great. Everyone should watch it.
It's not the best. Prime. It's not the best show, but it's really fucking entertaining.
Yeah, it's the studio's fourth anime. It's the same person who wrote Garden of Sinners, right?
Yeah, you looked it up.
And Aldenoa Zero.
Yeah. So,
stylistically, it's way different than Garden of Sinners. Garden of Sinners is this very slow, methodical, like, kind of psychological show.
This is just fucking
like, let's go!
Well, Zach was sitting there and was like, they wouldn't kill a character off on episode 8. I'm like, Zach, how's Garden of Sinners?
I'm like, oh, fuck.
I'm like, yeah, Zach. That's where we are. We're going to get Madoka.
Look, her death warrant was signed.
Now, yeah, we knew she was fucking dead from like
episode 2. Her death warrant was signed in episode 3. As soon as she had the nice moment with Alice, it's like,
you're dead. You're dead.
Why do they have to kill the one?
I mean, we pretty much called the plot. It's like, yeah, she's going to die. Alice is going to get really pissed and then just go attack them because she's not thinking straight.
Like, so he's like, she's my favorite character. Nice scene. Oh no.
God, then we have Edgelord Supreme. We're like, God, he's so cool.
Look, bleeding from the eyes. See? Other people bleed from the eyes.
Only because he got his persona taken away.
Yeah. Then there's Linkin Park, a.k.a. Meteora.
Look, if you actually look at the dialogue, there are so many Linkin Park references in there. There was just one line of caption where it just said, in the end, I'm like, ha.
Something I appreciate about the show is that the main character isn't like the focal point. Like he's just kind of there.
I was going to say like at this point,
at least not right now.
I don't know who the main character is.
It's Celestia.
Soda's got his own story. Celestia's kind of off on her own.
She's kind of does things.
They've kind of been bouncing around focusing on different characters, which I like.
I feel like they focus more on world building more than anything.
Also, I am convinced that it's going to be Soda and Meteora for the ship. Fuck Soda and Celestia.
Meteora is going to be the one character that survives all this.
Maybe. She might be like the last one to die.
Nah, it's going
to
be the dating sim character.
Can't wait to meet that one.
I mean, yeah, the fights are fucking cool. I wish we got to see more of them because they always cut away from like the cool parts.
There's one fight Steve and I saw because we watched Mojo List when we get bored. And it was a really cool fight. It was a military uniform princess.
Versus... Everyone. Like, oh my god. That was the actual title.
That sounds fucking boss.
Altair versus everyone.
Nice. I can't wait.
Yeah. And we get backstory this next episode if we watch tonight.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
So the composer of the series is I'm gonna get the actual name, but he's done Kill la Kill, Attack on Titan. This Aldo Zero, Guilty Crown, what's the fucking name?
So basically, they take the man, put him in a room with an orchestra, and just say, "Have fun."
He has this uncanny thing where it's like he likes to turn everything up to like fucking 12 on the volume scale because like the music is cool and it gets you pumped, but it's like the battle scene is just like, excuse me, could you turn it down just a bit? This is cool, I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's my one complaint with it. It's like, it's cool music, but it's fucking loud as all hell, and I cannot see what Chipsarsky is holding.
It's a box of dominoes. Yes, Capullo and Snyder are both at the gym.
Yeah, but this guy's known for, like, doing just very bombastic battle themes. Like, think of any Attack on Titan song, that's him. Anything else? Cabaneri. Yeah, just anything super bombastic.
Yeah, they take the man, throw him in a room with an orchestra, just to go crazy.
I mean, I feel like that's what they do with Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Still great. Super entertaining.
All right.
So I feel like more people are actually watching it now that it's free from Anime Strike.
Yeah. Well, it was like the most watched anime on Amazon right now. And that's surprising because it beat like Full Metal, which has been around since the dawn of time.
True, but I mean, you could watch Full Metal and like
everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait to watch Full Metal on my microwave.
It's kind of interesting. This is kind of a side thought, but like from I've been watching like a lot of people's like top like anime of the year lists, and pretty much the top like some of the highest ones are Made in Abyss, Amazon exclusive. Recreators, Amazon exclusive, and Land of the Lustrous, also an Amazon exclusive. It's like, Amazon's been sitting on this great pile of anime, and nobody's watched it.
Because it's like, oh, what's that you got there? Good anime? Money. Ours now.
It's kind of like Netflix.
Especially with Recreators is one of those shows that, it was a show before it was a manga. And then they did the manga after it because it was so popular.
It's very rare that it happens, but it has happened before.
Yeah. And like I said, it's just still surprising to me. Like, you know, trying to read New Game right now. I'm like, I need my fix. There's only 10 chapters after season 2.
I still gotta watch the Kobayashi Maid Hot Springs episode. Yeah. I'm such a slacker.
Do we want to do Nightwing or do we want to move on to Doomsday?
I have not read Nightwing, so.
Okay. You and I talk about Nightwing?
Sure.
So Nightwing New Order finished with issue 6. Lovely father-son tale with kind of, again, everyone's main complaints like, oh, you know what the ending and you knew what the climax was going to be. And I was like, well, yeah, it's a father-son story where, yeah, sure, Dick betrays everyone, but it's like his son feels guilt about it. And it's like, to be a good father, he has to do things. So at the end of the story, what's really awesome is that Lex Luthor figures out how to make a mutant bomb again and give everyone superpowers, especially Superman. The best line of the entire series, other than what's his kid's name?
Jake?
Yeah, other than Jake, there's two times Jake did an amazing thing. It's like Corey comes into his room, it's like, are you okay, sweetie? And he says, don't call me that. And I'm like, oh, oof. Fuck you, Corey.
And then I want to see the Robin that you were.
Or, I'm sorry, I was never the Robin you were. When he was like, because great people inspire, Robin was there to help Batman not be afraid, and I'm sorry I wasn't there to help you be afraid, or not be afraid. And then the best line of the entire series was given by Lex Luthor. After he gives Superman his powers, he says, I am your god. And I'm like, oh, Lex Luthor. It was so cool. But, so the series ends. Kate retires from being the villain of the series and the colony. Not the colony. The New Order disappears along with Kate and government bureaucracy over superpowers. And it's like Jake doing a reflection of everything, telling the story of his father as Nightwing and how he saved the world a second time, doing what he did for the people he loved the most, which is, you know, Dick Grayson. And I sat there with the ending of the series and I'm like, I just want more of this world. I want to explore all the different things in it. And you and I have that conversation.
Yeah, I want the prequel of what the fuck happened with Bruce.
Why was he eviscerated? Who did the Black Kryptonite?
They showed
him getting eviscerated.
Who gave him the Black Kryptonite?
And they said, yeah, like it was Black Kryptonite. And Lex's like, it wasn't me. Superman turns to him and was like, I know it wasn't you. It's like, who did it?
Most insane theory?
Well, my theory is Batman did it to himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was the theory I tossed out. Like,
to show Dick that superpowers aren't
dangerous. Well, because, yeah, Dick was the one that talked Bruce into not using the bomb from Apocalypse. So my theory is that Batman's like, well, this needs to get used for a better world. So, hey, Superman, Black Kryptonite. I will be the trigger.
And I want to see the war on Apocalypse, too. Like, how did this bomb come to be in the first place? What were the immediate after effects? Like, I would love a prequel series where issue 6 is where Dick ignites the bomb. So we get to figure out what happened to Wonder Woman, what happened to Bruce, really, and all these other things. Why did Corey abandon Dick after, you know, their child being born?
Well, that kind of went over.
Yeah.
Is after the bomb went off and the powers went away, Corey just kind of grew apart from Dick because of his decision and irreconcilable differences. She's like, fuck it.
Together.
But yes. They became friends.
But that means there's room for Barbara.
But where is Barbara?
Again, prequel series. Let's go.
I also want to see Alfred Pennyworth's journey around the world and all without superpowers.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. And, you know, that's actually really good for a motion in a Doomsday Clock because they do a really cool thing that the Alan Moore did. Alan Moore is rolling around. Like casting black magic. Like,
go, my snake rings. Bring Jeff, vengeance.
Even though Doomsday Clocks feels a little more compact than Watchmen did, it does. Just casting black magic.
It worked. Yeah. Doomsday clock is delayed.
Yeah. Something happened.
Joke's on you.
But what's really cool is that Geoff Johns is essentially emulating him and does, like, here's the newscasting, here's the mystery black and white series that mentions Sergeant Rock and Ted Grant Wildcat and the original Liberty Bell and everything. And it's like this really cool dual narrative that the original Watchmen did with Tales of the Black Freighter.
Is this, is like 2017 to 2018 just the return, triumphant return of nine panel series?
Well, that's how the
original Tom Watchmen, King loves yeah. it. Fucking Geoff Johns is doing it with Watchmen.
Watchmen 2.
Doomsday Clock.
And it's
Watchmen 2.
It's a Boogaloo. Beautiful thing that he's doing. Like
Doomsday Clockaloo.
I really enjoy the fact that, like, in the news reports, like, yeah, 97% of the world's superheroes live in America. And I'm like, yeah, I never really thought about that.
Wait a minute.
Well, there's, like, the Justice League of China, and then,
That's it.
Black Adam and his family that doesn't exist anymore, and, the Seven Soldiers of China, and, pretty sure there's some, like, Japanese people that have superpowers, or maybe they're probably
some in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's
maybe
like,
Canada.
Yeah, Captain Britain, who's... No, he doesn't have any superpowers. It's
Marvel.
Yeah, and then there's, like, the Batman of England, and that's really it, and, yeah, you know. But anyways, it's really cool, because it's, like, this really interesting narrative, and especially when we get the first true confrontation between the new Rorschach and a little bit about his backstory as, like, this cab driver trying to get back home and giving Batman Rorschach's journal...
And scrubbing his scalp raw.
He's like, I shook hands with V. So it really shows that, yeah, this Rorschach wasn't created by Adrian. More so that he became Rorschach to expose Adrian almost in a new way.
And Batman of all people saying, you're fucking nuts.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, it's like, here's this timeline from your world. But at the same time, it's like, Bruce, you've seen the multiverse.
I was going to say, of all people, like, you went into the dark multiverse. You're going to call bullshit on the Watchmen universe?
Unless that's why he locks him in.
He's like,
you're too dangerous.
Yeah.
And the fact that he locks him in the Joker's cell where it says, we're all mad here, it's super
Was
intense.
It the Joker's or was it Mad Hatter's?
I think it was Mad Hatter's because they had a whole discussion about Mad Hatter escaping and coming back and escaping and...
So that would mean a cell is open.
Okay. I just took it as Joker almost because just Arkham Asylum seems like
true.
His home.
Yeah, I would have too if they didn't mention the whole Mad Hatter escaping.
And I think the biggest takeaway from this issue was Mime and Marionette. Like, hardcore. When they go into the Joker's territory, even when they finally get off their ship, you have the... quantum mechanics of, like, yeah, they teleported and they were left behind handcuffed by Veed and Rorschach, and Mime somehow got them out with his invisible toothpick, and it's like,
or yeah, walk
hold the fuck up, is he a meta?
Is he the first meta of the Watchmen universe?
I we don't know.
Like, we see still the gun, of, like, we see the outline of it, but it's like...
And again, Marionette's not surprised at all. She's like, yeah, this is normal. And it explains how...
Do you think they're
the
both
Mime
minutes?
Could be such a dangerous criminal.
Marionette can't be, because we see her razor wire.
But where does she get the razor wire from? She just kind of claps her hands
and
voila,
she's
a puppet. There.
Marionette.
It's one of
the sure, but
of the
where
character.
Is she keeping the fucking razor wire? That
probably it's
time?
Like on a ring in her finger that she just kind of locks and...
That's what I was imagining.
I guess.
Because I've seen that
well, I'm thinking
used
like,
in like other mediums where it's been like
sure.
you have it on your finger and you just kind of clap and like
well, okay.
put it together and then you
right,
have...
but here's my thought. What if they're both metas and their child is so important because he's also a meta and Dr. Manhattan wanted to expose that?
Or their child's the third Joker. Because They land at the amusement park from the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Like, again, Alan
That's
Moore
a lot of
is
Joker references.
Very much like fuck DC right now, especially like here, Promethea joins the Justice League. And no, like J.H. Williams III is like.
I think DC's just gaslighting him at this point.
I don't know. It's or Alan Scott, Moore didn't. He gave DC all the rights.
Or it's like Scott's kind of like, done. Oh, comedian's falling out of a window. Oh, he splatted. No. Teleport.
Geoff Johns.
Okay.
Geoff Johns.
But that makes sense because, again, they went in since issue.
Did they ever show his body?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They had a whole scene of that. I mean, like, look, it's his body, but now it's like no body.
No.
He didn't even hit the floor. He landed in water.
Here's the thing. So issue one, when we talked about how it being like such a slow burn, issue one where V is explaining the realm of quantum mechanics to Marionette, Rorschach, and Mime, he's like, yes, when this happens, you will cease to exist in this, but we'll travel forward. So it's almost like the Schrodinger's cat gets split in half, because the way they traveled in issue one is they get struck by the missile and then boom, teleport, they're in the new world. In the same fashion, Manhattan zaps Blake, and we see one version of Blake land, but the other one survive in the waters. Quantum theory is stupid. And that's my assumption. That's the only way I can reasonably explain it without ruining the holy scripture that is the original Watchmen, I suppose. Like, Geoff Johns is treating this material very carefully. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of this series that, because they do so much to talk about Johnny Thunder in the retirement home while they're doing the TV series, I wouldn't be surprised that the JSA comes back at the end of this, because you have Ted Grant be mentioned in the back of this. This is his first appearance ever since the New 52 started. And then you also have mentions of Liberty Bell and everyone else in the back. They even mentioned Rita Farr, who was the original she was in Doom Patrol. And it's like, there's so many subtle things. There's so many
pieces just sitting there.
I had to reread the issue twice, just because it's like, all right, how do I break this down as an English major?
Also, Rorschach's just a guy.
Allegedly.
As far as we know, he's just a guy.
That got attacked. This does confirm the original Watchmen ending is canon, not the movie, where the giant tentacle monster's attacked. I don't know. I'm kind of sad that it's bi-monthly now, but it does make sense that this is supposed to be the final events of the DC universe as we know it currently.
Well, bi-monthly for now, because I think Geoff Johns posted on Twitter, it's like, we're going to go bi-monthly because that's a guaranteed release. We might go back to monthly, but as of right now, it's guaranteed.
It's like, we'd rather just tell you ahead of time rather than delay it.
32 pages, no ads during the middle of the book. I mean, I'll take it. Granted, you know, the series won't be over until June or July 2019, but it's a damn good book.
Well, and I do also see how it could be beneficial to the current series, because if you think about it, there are stories that aren't going to wrap up until the end of Doomsday. Because it's supposed to bring everything together. Everything's supposed to catch back up. So well, if it's coming out monthly and something gets dropped about another series that hasn't quite shown, like,
Snyder,
Superman did this, I'm like, fucking what?
And Snyder's still going to be messing around with Justice League stuff. Like, who knows what the fuck they got planned.
Like, it gives the writers more time to finish the stories they want to tell before the end of Doomsday Clock.
Plus, it gives people time to explore the new stuff. Like, the Dark Matter stuff comes out.
Yeah, that's true.
Milestone's supposed to come out. Young Animal Wave 2. Also, I was looking at the Dark Matter stuff. So, Sideways is a Spider-Man XP. We were joking around about that. Team Terrific is the Fantastic Four. Damage is the Hulk. Silencer is the Punisher. Brimstone is supposed to be Ghost Rider, apparently. Oh my God. And I'm just sitting here staring at them. I'm like, these are all Marvel XP's. This is really interesting. And that's why I thought Bendis was going to be writing Sideways when he came over. Like, I mean, Marvel's not doing fuck all with any of these characters other than, like,
Spider-Man. I guarantee once that Fox Marvel deal goes through, there will be a fucking flurry of X-Men and Spider-Man books. Well, as, like, if there weren't already for Spider-Man.
The X-Men Blue series is ending, finally. And
her Fantastic Four, that's what I meant.
Yeah. X-Men Blue is ending, kind of. So the 05 are going to disappear to fuck all, because Jean Grey's in hell right now. She's not dead, she's just in
hell. Is that what happened after she got blown up by the Phoenix Force?
Phoenix Force is like, disintegrate you and in hell.
Yep. But, like, the new X-Men Blue team is going to be Jimmy Hudson, Wolverine's ultimate son.
Oh, wait, hold up. Does anyone know she's in hell?
Her final issue comes out this week.
Okay, because I was going to say, can't magic just travel to
she
hell?
She meets magic in hell.
Why is magic just not taking her out?
Because it's not the magic we know. It's like demon magic.
God damn it.
Dark magic, if you will.
Boo.
Dark magic attack.
Dark magician.
So it's like Jimmy Hudson is the 1610 version of Wolverine, teamed up with Dakin, teamed up with like four other characters for the new X-Men Blue series. I'm like, huh, way to use B-listers.
Your favorite.
Yeah. Especially since like Colin Bune. Like, I'm surprised no one's officially signed him or if he's like rejecting stuff.
He could be.
Because he's just like, he's everywhere.
I mean, he has a ton of solo projects too. Like with Aftershock and Image, yeah. So he's probably just content with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's a good place to wrap it up, too.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything to say about Doomsday Clock?
It's going to be a long wait. Gonna have to read that in one
sitting.
I
still think Rorschach is the son of the psychiatrist from the original series.
Well, yeah, didn't they kind of...
They hinted at it.
Well, didn't they confirm his name, too? Cause
nope.
Yeah, when they first landed, Rorschach was freaking out and... Adrian yelled at him and yelled, I think it was Benji to him.
Maybe.
He was like trying to calm him. He's like, stop, stop, Benji. He's like, oh, snap to it. And it's like, huh.
I do like the fact that when he's out of the mask, he talks normal. But once he puts on the mask, he kind of adopts a lot of Rorschach's mannerisms, almost like as a safety net. And I was showing Zach last night. I'm like, dude, look at his faces when he gets locked up.
His name's Reggie.
Reggie.
Okay.
I think he...
Yeah, it is an issue too. His name is Reggie.
Yeah. If anything, it's just like whatever. He is just a regular guy, and people need to stop looking for connections.
That wouldn't be a Geoff Johns thing.
Cough us.
Yeah.
Like, but what if Rorschach was this person?
What if Rorschach is secretly still Rorschach? He's just a clone.
But do you think we're going to get Night Owl too?
Do you really want Night Owl to come back?
Night Owl and Silk Spectre are going to show up?
There's what? 9 issues left?
Well, yeah, but they were kind of on an Earth that got nuked.
Small details.
They could have survived.
Like, the bunkers. The only people that we know of that survived were Adrian Rorschach, Mime, and Marionette. Those are the only four Watchmen people who we know for a fact survived that nuke.
Yeah. Simultaneously survived and died during the nuke. Quantum theory.
Schrodinger!
Anyways, thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode. We have a lot of cool stuff planned. Like, we're going to go hit up Joe Valen here in the next month to have our lovely Valentine's Day episode with all of you. It's in like 2 weeks. It's also parent-teacher conferences. Ugh.
Super Bowl this Sunday.
Oh, so that means I get to hide in my room.
Please, Eagles.
So
for America.
How many Facebook posts do you think we're going to get for the season finale of Mad in the Gathering?
Can we name the last episode next week?
Mad in the Gathering.
We role play it. Oh, yeah. I play Tom Brady.
Oh, fuck you.
I play. What would he be? Like, what character class? Would he be an elf?
Yeah, he'd be an elf. He'd be like a high elf
because of his long hair.
He's a pompous ass.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? No, I can't call him a pompous ass. Because I respect the guy a little more now.
I can't respect him because I want to see it.
There was a radio program where they were talking about his Facebook documentary. And they're talking about how, like, the first, that, like, one person who was a total ass after listening to the interview, they were talking about it. It's like, yeah, the first scene is so staged. Like, his kid there, his 5-year-old daughter, it's like, his kid's there being such a pompous pissant. I'm like, you just called a 5-year-old a pissant. And then Brady called into. Because he apparently calls this radio station every Monday and does like a little segment with them talking about how he's feeling about the game and all of that. And he calls, he's like, you know, I don't know if I can continue to be on a station that talks about not just my kid, but any kid like that. It's like, I'm going to have to do some thinking and maybe I'll talk to you guys later, and just hung up his phone. It's like, respect on that. Like, you respect your family. You respect other people's families. He even said, like, talk shit about me all you want. Don't talk about my kid. It's like, all right, a little more respect. I hate you as a player.
And I play the tank, King Belichick.
Oh, God.
Nah, that would be like a... He would be a
celestial.
He'd
be like a mage. No, he'd be like a wizard.
Tactician.
He'd be a celestial.
Yeah. just no reason. No,
did I name two Spur people?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, actually. I'm proud of you. Now name somebody on the Eagles.
Charlie Day, Glenn Howerton, and Rob McElhenney.
They tried out for the Eagles but didn't make it.
They were also the Freedom Eagles in the wrestling episode in season 5.
Yes, but not the Philadelphia
Stomp,
Eagles.
Stomp, stomp, clap. Stomp, stomp, clap. And then we can't forget Trash Man. Anyways, this has been a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. And we look forward to reading Metal this week as well as everything else coming out. We're still waiting to see what Grant Morrison's doing and if DC is going to be successful in honeypotting him. Maybe he's going to be writing a Young Animal title.
Oh, my God.
That'd be a dream. Oh, fuck.
Gerard, I'm back.
I forgot my Young Animal stuff is coming out, so that means I have two more titles.
The Milk War.
Dude, Milk War starts... this week next week?
Started again. What have I done?
The image looks so fucking confusing.
Exactly. The milkman.
Superman is the milkman. Batman is a priest, and Wonder Woman is a housewife.
Dude, and it's all done by
all descending from the heavens.
And it's done by Frank Quitely, who did the freaking All Star Superman descending from the heavens pose. It's perfect.
But again, Batman as a priest.
Bat priest.
Let that sink in.
It wouldn't be the strangest thing.
And Wonder
Batman's
Woman
done.
Is a housewife that's like...
she has a vacuum.
That's like everything against everything she stands for.
Yeah. Anyways. We're going to go to sleep. Right. Yeah. Please make us happy, boys. Because you can leave us a review or a thumbs up or any sort of thing. Like, you can go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. You can go on Google Play and leave us a review. And we'll read the reviews live on this podcast just for you.
To let you know we read them.
Yeah, we like you guys and we want you to know.
ZT Podcast is a bunch of assholes.
5 stars.
Nice. Love you too,
we'll
Tim.
Take it.
Yeah.
Seeing as Tim still hasn't given us a review yet.
And he mentions it, like, a lot. Like, once a week.
Almost so every time we talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. We should, like, next time we're all at Hall of Justice, we should all, like, hey, where's that review? You want to write it here in front of us? It's like the guy on Yelp. It's like, leave us a Yelp rating and we'll give you back your car. That's illegal.
Maybe he's used on sleeves, he is. Until we get a review.
I'm going to delete my review as soon as I leave. And then they called me. They did that. It was,
God, it's the worst.
Yeah, it was a place to get my brakes repaired. And they're like, hey, we noticed you left a bad review and then deleted your review. Is there anything we can do? I'm like, well, you put me out of a lot of money and you ripped me off. So, no.
No. All right, let's go.
And as thank you guys. Along. We're ready for the Milk Wars Doomsday. Bye, guys. Love you, Internet.
Oh, God, the worst.